I'm going to be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15, a few verses in just a minute. Since the first of the year, we've been talking about the goodness of God and how capable He is of blessing His people. And we started in the first chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 10. God spoke to Moses and gathered God's people together and said, right here, right now, you're so very blessed already. You're blessed right here. And then verse 11 says, but may the God of your ancestors bless you 1,000 times more. And that's a paradigm shift. That is beyond our wildest imaginations. There are no limits to how much God can bless His people unless we put limits on Him. And today we're going to continue talking about the goodness of God, and specifically today, how good God is to us and the way He deals with us. And the bottom line is He never gives up on us. John's Gospel in the 15th chapter, Jesus speaks these words. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Two choices so far. Two options. Remaining in Him, abiding in Him. The only other option is you're headed for the furnace. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now this is a picture of how God deals with His people. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the landowner, the farmer, the gardener, the one who works the soil. And you, speaking of us, Jesus said, we are the branches. And as long as we stay remaining and abiding in the vine, we can bear fruit. And some of us bear a small amount of fruit, and God thinks we can bear more fruit in a future season. So the way He gets more fruit out of us, even if we're connected and bearing some fruit, He will prune us and cut us back. It will be like one step backward in the way we may look at it, but God sees it's three or four steps forward after that in a future season. And there are three levels of fruitfulness. One is bearing fruit, all of them right here in these eight verses. The second is bearing more fruit. And then the third and highest is bearing much fruit. And God deals with us. It's the hand of a gardener as He gently tends to each of us as branches on a vine. This is the good news today, that God never gives up on us, but He's at work in our lives, doing an inside job, making us more fruitful in a future season by the work he's doing in us now. You may feel uncomfortable right now in some area of your life. You may know that things are not like they ought to be, and you may be praying with all of your might, God, please change my circumstances. But he may not be as interested in changing your circumstances as he is in developing and maturing something in you so you can be even more fruitful in a future season. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part, but I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. A great songwriter wrote that. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Well, that's the picture of a loving vine dresser, a loving Heavenly Father that never gives up on us, but takes great care of us. Now, today I'm talking about lessons in the vineyard. And everything we need to know in life, we can learn from the vineyard. We can learn the principles of seed time and harvest. That's so biblical. It affects every area of our life, and we learn that by looking at a vineyard. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter. We can look at life in a vineyard and see how that life is full circle. How that we know what it is in a vineyard to feel the coldest day of winter and also the hottest day of summer, and they keep coming back around every year, just like that. We can look at life in a vineyard and realize the truth Jesus spoke of when he said, except the seed falls to the ground and dies, there will be no life there. We can look at a vineyard and we think of another parable Jesus told about letting the wheat and the weeds grow together for a while, because if you pluck up the weed, then you may do damage to the wheat. So in the vineyard, we learn that we're all in this together and God will take care of weeds in his time. And we learn in the vineyard, you reap what you sow. These are lessons you can learn. If you were a farmer, that's what I liked about Jesus, is he would tell stories and use illustrations about real life so that those who were following him, listening to his teaching, could easily understand his point. He never spoke over anybody's head. You reap what you sow. If you go out in your field, in the vineyard, and you plant corn, you are not going to come back a few months later and reap cotton. No farmer is surprised by the kind of harvest he reaps. You reap what you sow. If you plant tomatoes, don't care how much you like squash, you're not getting any. You're going to get maters. So we reap what we sow. Everything we need to know in life, we learn from the vineyard. There are lessons in the vineyard. Stages of life is one. Even in the natural, we're born an infant. We're totally dependent on other people for our food and for our care, for our life, really. And then we grow up and become a toddler, and then a child, and then after that, an adolescent, a teenager, and after that, a young adult, and then finally, a fully matured adult. And it's the same in the spirit. We're born again in the spirit, and the first thing we learn how to do is stand, and having done all to stand, we just keep standing. And then the Bible talks about walking in the spirit. So there's forward motion. We're making baby steps, perhaps, but we're headed in the right direction because we are growing. And then finally, running without fainting, never losing energy, God replenishing us in full steam. And so the stages of life, we can see also in the vineyard how a little seed goes to the ground, and then there is life and fruit. And then, as the farmer tends the vine, each branch individually, you'll say, well, that's not doing anything at all. There is no fruit whatsoever. Then he purges that branch and throws it in the fire. It's dead and good for nothing. But those that are bearing fruit, now you would think, and if I were Jesus telling this story, I would want so much to say, now if you're not bearing fruit, he just cuts you out and burns you. But now if you're bearing fruit, he'll say, well done, you're bearing fruit, I'm going to leave you in. But he didn't say that. He didn't seem to be concerned about popularity. If he wanted to be popular, he could have said, you boys are bearing a lot of fruit, so I'm going to leave you just like, no. He said, I cut you back. I prune you. I cut you back so that you can bear more fruit. And then eventually, his intention for each branch is to bear much fruit. Now, natural growth is determined by time. Intellectual growth is determined by learning, but spiritual growth is determined by obedience. And the vine dresser is constantly at work on us with that in mind. First of all, we want to talk this morning about the power of connection. We've got to be connected to the vine. Each of us are related to each other only because each of us are connected to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, being a branch is determined by I'm going to stay connected to Jesus. I'm going to stay plugged into him. And then the fruit shows up on the branches. So, the fruit doesn't show up on the vine. The vine provides the life source to each branch, and the fruit you will find at the end of the branches. The power of connection. The source of our life is our connection to God. And the gardener, the farmer, the vine dresser is not after leaves, but he's after fruit, and then more fruit, and ultimately much fruit. You remember the story, Jesus and his disciples were walking down the road one day, and Jesus was hungry. Imagine it, Jesus was hungry, and he saw a fig tree at a distance, and he went over to find figs that he might eat, but there were no figs on the tree, nothing but leaves, nothing but leaves. Probably at a distance, you might think, oh, that's a beautiful fig tree full of leaves. Surely there's something there. But upon closer inspection, he couldn't find any figs. Jesus cursed the tree. Now, leaves are good for nothing except to throw shade and caterpillar food. That's not the fruit Jesus wants out of our life. And leaves can represent a lot of activity, our busyness. But being busy, even about religious things, being busy is not a true indicator of how obedient we are to God. Amen. The power of connection. Then secondly, we learn in this parable, life in the vineyard, that we should know our season. That's important. Seasons are important in the vineyard. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And we are always in a season. And now, not everyone is in the same season as everybody else. And not every church is in the same season as every other church. But to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose, a time for every purpose. So we should always be asking ourselves, what is God's purpose for me in this season? I remember David Barbie, who's gone home to be with the Lord, has been gone a few years now. He was a part of our choir, and early in his life, he was a powerful gospel music DJ at a 50,000-watt FM station that covered two or three states. And he did that for a few decades, a powerful voice. And then when that season ended, he had to adjust. It was almost like, I'm sure in his mind, he was being pruned. He was being cut back a little bit. No longer was he in a position that he had been for so long. But here's what he did. He started making cassette tapes of music. Now, he didn't do it a lot, but he would pick out people that he had been praying for. And he has done that for me a time or two. And he'd give me a cassette, and he said, Carl, I've been praying for you, and I have a mixed tape. I put together songs I believe will minister to you and be a blessing to you, just between us. I said, well, thank you, David. What a blessing that is. That's how he made that adjustment, but it didn't stop there. The day came when he was rushed to the hospital, and by now he was well on in age and not doing well and could no longer live at home. And the doctors told him that he had to go to a nursing home, and all the arrangements were made for him to leave the hospital and go to the nursing home. And I remember going to visit him in the hospital that day, knowing he's leaving here soon and going to a nursing home. And I said, David, they tell me when you leave here, you're going to the nursing home. And he said, yes. Now, I've had some people at that point in their life, they say, I'd rather die first. That's what I've heard out of some people. But here's how David handled it. David said, yeah, and all I know is obviously there are some people over there at the nursing home that need some encouragement. Wasn't that great? So we should know our season. To everything, there is a season. We learned this lesson in the vineyard, a time for every purpose under heaven. What is God's purpose for me in this season? Now, life in the vineyard with the farmer taking care of the vine and the branches, the farmer will till the soil. And that, you don't like accomplishing much, just turning dirt over. Work hard all day, sweat all day, go home tired at night and look out at that field, and you've been working out there all day. All you did was turn dirt over. No fruit, no plants, nothing. But it's necessary. It's part of the cycle of life. Then after the farmer tills the soil, there's a time to plant. Then there's a time to water and fertilize. And then there's a time to wait. The farmer has to wait. I've never been a farmer. I've watched them, though. We have some here in the church. Luther's a great farmer. I can give him any kind of seed. He'll grow it. I go to Russia and bring him seeds back of fruit I've never seen before, just seeds. I say, Luther, plant these in your garden and see what comes up. And a little bit later, a few weeks, couple of months, he'll come back and show me the fruit. And I'll look at the pack that the seeds were in and say, yep, that's exactly what came up right there. But imagine how a farmer has to adjust after he's worked hard to till and get the field ready for the seed. You know, the Lord's been working so hard, even this past week, getting the soil ready for the seed this morning. And how the farmer must feel when he does all that and gets the seed in the ground and waters it and fertilizes it and then has to wait. Wait. Just has to wait. Part of the lesson we learn in the vineyard is knowing what season we're in, and there is a waiting season. And then finally, there's the harvest. Now, a farmer does that, and he repeats it every year. He does it, tills the soil, plants the seed, waters, fertilizes, waits, and then harvests, rinse and repeat, as they say. The cycle of life and the stages and the seasons of life. Now, God gives different instructions for different seasons. Don't let the unique way God has led you in the past hinder you from hearing a new direction for your future. David Barbee is the classic example of that. I can only imagine going from that powerful broadcasting station to doing mixtapes for one person. But he did it joyfully. And then responding to the news, you got to go to the nursing home. Well, when I get there, I'm going to encourage some people there. My, my. God gives different instructions for different seasons. We learned that lesson in the vineyard. And then now, for just a minute, and I won't take long, you came to church today on a holiday Sunday, so you deserve to get out early. You deserve to be the first at the cafeteria today. But I do need to talk for a minute about the pruning process. The pruning, that's the seasons in our life when God, in his goodness, and he takes such good care of us, he's the source of our life. That's why we're connected to the vine. But he sees that we can be more fruitful. And his intention is that we bear much fruit eventually. And the pruning process is necessary for fruitfulness, more fruitfulness, and much fruitfulness. And it is progressive perfection. Now, I have problems, you have problems, we don't judge anybody around here. That's one thing I'll say about this church, we don't judge people. We're at least that smart. If I were to look at me, or if you were to look at yourself, you would think, my God, you can't do much with that. But because of the pruning process and God's principle of progressive perfection, God thinks we are perfectible. And that's what the pruning process is all about. Even when we do good, and even after that when we do better, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. God the Father says, but you can be more fruitful. Next year you can be more fruitful. And my desire is that you bear much fruit. So the pruning process is necessary. And then we talked a few weeks ago about God dealing with us in discipline. And one word is chastisement. The definition of that word is correction that leads to maturity. That's what happens in the pruning process. It feels like discipline. It feels like we've been cut back a little bit. It's like a detour or a speed bump. We didn't see this coming sometimes, and we would think it's just unnecessary in every way. But God chastens those that belong to him, and he disciplines every son that he loves. That's how much he cares for us, and that's how good he is. Now, none of this would be worth talking about if it were not for the fact that he never gives up on us. He really does think we are perfectible. And what pain we may be going through during the seasons of pruning, the pain will be worth the gain. There's something good that will follow it. Romans 8, 18 says, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So if you're going through a season of pruning, or suffering, or discipline, or chastisement in any area of your life, then you can claim this as a truth that's working in your life. The suffering you're going through presently, nothing, nothing compared to the glory that God is working on to be revealed through us. And be patient with God. We need to learn that in the vineyard. The farmer has to have some patience. Maybe that's why the Lord didn't call me to farm. If y'all were waiting on me to grow the food, to feed, because the farmer has to be patient. God is so patient with us, and we need to be patient for God. Learn how to wait on him. When God wants to create one pearl 100 years is nothing to him. And he's still working on us. And another lesson we learn from the vineyard in another parable Jesus told of the sower sowing the word. Here it is, the sower, talking about seed, which is the word of God. And we learned this happens in the vineyard too. As soon as the seed is sown, I'm sowing seed right now today. Every time you open your Bible, God opens his mouth and a word comes to you. It's like a farmer sowing seed. But Jesus gives the parable and says that as soon as the seed is sown, an enemy will come and try to steal the seed. It won't ever even have a chance. It won't get in the soil deeply. It won't grow up and become greater. It will never produce fruit because an enemy comes immediately to steal the seed. Now, sometimes God dealing with us feels a little bit like an enemy. Well, that hurt. That didn't feel good at all. Well, yeah, I'm pruning you because, oh, next year you're going to be so much more fruitful than even you are this year. And so I'm doing this tenderly and in love, and I'm doing it because it's the time and the season for that purpose that I have for you to come to pass in your life. So the enemy comes immediately to steal the word as soon as we hear it. And it's hard sometimes. This is the problem with many believers. We cannot discern the difference between the enemy coming to steal the word and God coming to prove the word. That's deep. I'll let you think about that after you go home. Hardly tell the difference between the enemy coming to steal the word and God coming to prove the word. And he will have the last word. His word is truth. Every branch has potential because of our source. We're connected to the vine. And because of the great care he gives us. We have the best Father. He takes good care of us. I've told you this hundreds of times. I have no complaints to file with God. I don't like a lot of stuff I have to deal with, but God's not behind any of that. I have no complaints. Sometimes I'll meet people for the first time and say, how you doing? I will answer, I'm doing fine. I have no complaints to file with God. That's just a great testimony there, and it's so true, not only for me, but for all of us. Each branch has great potential because of our source and because of the care he gives each one of us in particular. God has made a costly investment in us, and he is working to make sure his investment goes up in value. Stand, if you will. Everybody stand, bow your heads as the men and women who serve on our prayer team find their way to the front. Every head bowed. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God today. Thank you that it's like a lifesaver for some. It reaches us just in time. And I ask you, Lord, to finish a perfect work this morning in the lives of those who have the greatest needs here. I pray that you would honor your word and you would answer prayer quickly. Those who are hurting, sick in their bodies, may the prayer of faith heal the sick right now. For those who are in need, there is lack in their life or in their home, I pray that the word of God and the spirit of prayer would meet that need, even supernaturally. And so, Lord, now we sanctify this altar. This is a house of prayer from this moment. And we ask you to minister to the men and women who have needs and who have faith stirring in their life. Right now, faith stirring that they know you will answer this prayer. And we bless you and call you good today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Before you break